for him at last. Trial and trouble all past, crowns at his feet we will cast. Jesus is sing it out. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, it will be soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again.
Well, what a blessing to be in church this evening. And let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for tonight. We thank you for bringing us safely here. And Lord, we're looking forward, Lord, to the blessing that you shower on us, both through the singing, through the preaching, and through the fellowship with your people. And we just ask that it might be to your honor and glory. We ask now in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Some golden daybreak. Some glorious morning, sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning, all will be peace. Heartaches all ended, school days all done. Heaven will open, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak, for me, for you. Sad hearts will gladden, all shall be bright. Goodbye forever to earth's cognite. Changed in a moment, like him to be. Oh, glorious daybreak, Jesus I'll see. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden day break for me, for you. Oh, what a meeting there in the skies. No tears, no crying shall dim their eyes. Eternally, oh, what a day break that morn will be. Some golden day break, Jesus will come. Some golden day break, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden day break for me, for you.
All right, I want to welcome everyone to Liberty Baptist Church this evening. We're looking forward to hearing Brother Murphy again, and to tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday. You want to make sure that you're here for that, and it'll be a blessing. You'll be glad that you did. You don't want to miss any of it. I look around. I don't think we have anyone that's not been here before. We thank you for coming here tonight. Do have a few announcements. You want to remember to continue to pray for Brother Nichols and his family, his health. Pray for Brother Block at this time. Lord, give him comfort and continue to really help him. Want to have a few announcements we have for some folks. I know that Brother Taylor mentioned about Brother Lowry this morning and needing to get straight with what they're needing to do with his dialysis. You want to continue to pray for him, for Miss Vita Ruiz, to pray for her. And there's going to be a memorial service for Mike Kent. I know, I think Brother Robert knows, if you want to get some information on that, they're at Faith Baptist Church. And so you want to, if you knew Brother Kent and the family, of course, you want to be a part of that. We've got a few things that I do need to mention to folks. Tonight, the offering will be at the end of the service. And what we take in, of course, going to go to Brother Murphy, be it try and be a blessing and a help to him for tonight. And tomorrow night, you want to be prepared to give if you can. On Tuesday night is graduation at 7:30 as well. We will not be taking an offering then, so you want to get in your giving. You want to get it tonight and tomorrow night. Be generous, be a help and a blessing to Brother Murphy. He's already been a blessing. I've already heard good reports. And I don't expect anything less for the next couple of days either. But Murphy's always been a blessing, delivering the Word of God, being a help and a blessing to God's people. So you want to remember to be a part of that. And we do thank you for being here at Liberty Baptist Church, being faithful, and I'm sure it's going to be worth you coming. God bless you.
And Tuesday is the midweek service. Midweek service. All right, let's all stand. I need thee every hour.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make thee thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Thank you. You can be seated.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
All right, now it's preaching time. Looking forward to hearing Brother Murphy. So get out your King James Bible and get ready to say amen.
Amen. All right, praise the Lord. This is a guitar playing church. Amen. And I like it. It's good. Praise the Lord for that. But I appreciate the opportunity to be back in God's house. Always a blessing to be in the house of God. And anytime we get opportunity, they try to shut her down, we just keep going. And for the glory of God. And so praise God for that. But it's great to be here. And like I said earlier, I think 1988, first time I come here and preached. That's when I was traveling for the college singing group. Patty Milliken sang in the group at that time. And I'm sure some other girls, you know, a lot of them now serving the Lord. And that was a blessing back when I had red hair. Amen. And I was a flaming red-headed evangelist back then. Yeah, but, I mean, it flamed out. It looked like a burnout forest up there or something. I don't know. But... praise God. Amen. And we were all a lot thinner back then, too. Praise the Lord. But amen for that. I've gotten so big, you know, my belt on the inside says equator. And my bathtub's got, has stretch marks. Amen. I've gotten so big. But praise the Lord. That's the Bible says, be fat and flourishing. Isn't that right? That's the Word of God. And we want to obey the Bible, what God says. But I'm looking forward to tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and I've been faithful to God's house. One thing God blesses, faithfulness. God blesses people that are faithful. And you may not be the most talented person, the best looking person, or a lot of money or anything like that, but we can all be faithful. Amen. And I'm glad those aren't a prerequisite for being faithful. Amen. Yeah, so we just set out, do the will of God. No greater joy than being in the direct center of God's will. And you want to make sure you're always in the will of God. Amen. That good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's what God wants all of us, in His perfect will. And I don't believe in the secondary will of God. And if that was true, then we're all in the secondary will of God, because the perfect will of God was the Garden of Eden. Yeah, right. And so, but, you know, going to church Sunday morning, that's good. Yeah. And going Sunday night, that's acceptable. But you go Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, that's the perfect will of God. Yeah. And that's where you want to be. Right there. And doing the will of God. And allowing the Spirit of God to have His will and way. in your heart. Be used. Have the joy of the Lord. He's our strength. And so tonight I'm going to read some verses out of 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. I'll read down through this passage of Scripture. And I love this passage of Scripture about Elijah calling down the fire of God. Know how we need that fire in our house, in our hearts today. The fire of God. And I'm afraid a lot of places the fire of God has died out. And it died out. I mean, I was saved back in 1976, back at the height of fundamentalism. And, when people up churches were going, blowing, growing for the glory of God. And so we need to pray and ask God to give us that fire. Amen. The fire of revival. Revival fire. And so the Lord wants us to have it. And here in this passage, the people of God here were kind of, confused about some things. And Elijah said, how long halt you between two opinions? And you can't live a joyful, successful Christian life with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And you got to make a decision. Amen. You got to pick a lane. There's nothing more dangerous than somebody out there just switching lanes all the time. You pick a lane. Amen. And, don't drive me insane. Pick a lane. And the people today drive crazy. And crazy. Me and Kurt, the only two people know how to drive in this country. I used to pull that big fifth wheel and finally get it going 70 miles an hour. I had that Cummins dually diesel driving that thing, finally get it going, then some pencil neck Barney Fife looking geek in a Volkswagen. Cuts me off. I want to show them a bug collection. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Get right up on them. Show them your bug collection. But praise the Lord for that. We want to have a fire for God. Amen. And a fire to do the will of God. And Elijah called down the fire. And the people at one point, they were confused about some things. And confusion is of the devil. Yeah, right. That's the devil. He wants to cause all sorts of havoc. Trouble, confusion in the hearts of people. And that's what was happening. And so Elijah prayed, the fire fell. And then there was a whole new attitude. Amen. And a whole new attitude. The Bible says, verse 39, when the people saw it, they fell on their face and said, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. And so now they were not afraid to speak up. They were not afraid to take a stand. They said, the Lord, He is God. What happened? The fire fell. The fire of God came and consumed the burnt sacrifice. And that's what it'll do for you and I as God's people. And that fire of God that'll consume us. Amen. And allow us to be that Christian that God can use to turn this situation around. Know how we need to see it happen. We need to see something. And I believe God's about ready to do it. And we want to make sure we're right there in the middle of it. Amen. Amen. Not caught out there on the fringe. Not caught out there in the world. With that type of attitude. But when Jesus comes back, I want Him to find me on fire for God. Amen. Amen. The fire that God will use in your life. And He used it with Moses in the burning bush. He was on the backside of the desert, discouraged, down, watching old, dirty, smelly sheep, hardly getting any sleep at all. The sheep, keeping them awake, all night long. But he noticed something on fire as a bush, and it wasn't really getting burned up. He stepped over there, and the voice of God came out of that fire. And God used that fire in his life. And allowed him to go back into Egypt and to lead those people out of that place of bondage. And that's what a fire will do. Amen. Solomon called down the fire of God and it filled the house and God used it. And the glory of God was in that place. That's the fire in the New Testament. In the upper room, they're praying and the fire fell. Peter stood up with boldness. 3,000 people got saved. Amen. I mean, that's what a fire will do, neighbor. Where's that fire today? Where's that fire the hearts of God's people. And so, in order for that to happen, we see in this passage of Scripture, some things had to take place. What happened? The altar was broken down. The altar was broken down. And so what did Elijah set out to do? He set out to repair the despair. Repair the despair. A lot of people today are in great distress. A lot of people today are discouraged, down, defeated in the life of a child of God. There's no place for defeat or despair or discouragement. That's what the devil wants. He wants to rob you of your joy. Amen. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. And the devil wants to steal it away. But God wants to restore it. God wants to revive it. Amen. And we need to repair that despair. So once again, the fire of God can fall in our life. And use us to advance the cause of Christ upon this sin-soaked society. And claim back the ground we've given up to the modernistic, liberal, socialistic, communistic crowd out there that is trying to overthrow our faith in God. And we're allowing them to run roughshod. We've lost our fervor and we've lost our zeal. And the savor is to be cast out, to be trod under the foot of men. What a tragedy when we allow the worldly crowd to dictate to God's people how we're to worship and how we're to honor and love and live for God. Neighbor, we need a fire today. We need to repair that despair. Too many people are despondent. Too many people down. Too many people frustrated. Too many people irritated. Oh, how we need to ask God to give us that fire. But you want it. Oh, listen, there's something broken down. There's something broken down in society today. A nation that used to go to church. Something's broken. Something's broken down in our government. Something's broken down in our public schools. Something's broken down in our churches. Something's broken down in our homes. Say amen right there, even if it kills you, neighbor. But that's the honest truth, the Bible. And it's clear on what needs to take place in order for the fire of God to fall and to repair that altar. Repair that despair that you've allowed Satan to use in your life to drag you through despondency and discouragement and all of those things that hinder our walk with God, and we don't have the impact. Notice the Bible says there in verse number 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Oh, listen. If we're going to have the fire, we've got to repair some things. Amen. Some things need to be taken care of. And to get that joy. And that's what happened to old David when he sinned. Oh, that great sin. And fell into that wickedness. And the sin just captivated him so bad. He devised a plan to have somebody killed and tried to cover it up. Oh, listen, neighbor. He lost his joy. He lost his judgment. And anytime you let sin rule supreme in your life, it affects your thinking. It affects the way you think about things and your philosophies and your principles and your preferences. Begin to be distorted. And the light begins to go out in that life. He lost his judgment because of sin that he allowed in his life. Then he lost his jurisdiction. And the kingdom split. And his family rose up again. What a terrible thing for that to happen. But we read in Psalms chapter 51... how David prayed a prayer of repentance and said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of the Lord. Amen. Restore it. Revive it. Revive that joy. And restore that joy. And so that we might remain strong and steadfast in the work of God. And He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. No, listen, that altar represents the presence and the power and the plan of God and the God's process, the way that He wants to see things done and in order, amen, according to the Scriptures, a certain way He likes to see things get done in order. What does the devil want? Chaos and confusion and all sorts of people just running around. The altar had been broken down and there was no order. There was no order. No, listen, God says we need to set some things in order. We need to repair that despair. We need to ask God to give us the strength to do it. This is always the work of the devil. The altar was the centerpiece of everything that the children of Israel practiced. Are you with me? It was the centerpiece. It was the place in the middle of the temple. It defined their very nature. The altar. And the name. And the nobility. In their doctrine. In their demeanor. Their dress. In their direction. It was all about the altar. But it was broken down. I see today there's such a neglect when it comes to the altar call. Do you understand and realize and recognize the importance of the altar in our hearts and in our lives? Oh, listen. We need to repair the despair, and the best way to do it is to make much of that altar. And to get that relationship and the presence of God, the power of God in your life. How did He do it? Well, the Bible says there in verse 31, Elijah took the 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, and who the word of the Lord came saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones, he built an altar. Oh, listen, that's what starts. It starts with the foundation. We need to have a strong foundation. That altar needs to be strong. Amen. With the stones, the Bible says, he built that altar, refers to you and I in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5, as lively stones, alive, excited, energized, encouraged. Amen. And that's the altar that God wants us to have, built up a spiritual sacrifice acceptable unto Jesus Christ. And it starts with that foundation. But if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Have revival. Repair the despair. Amen. And get that altar. Get that foundation. Recognize the importance of it in your life. And God wants us to have that strong foundation that He can use to set some things right, set some things back in order, and in order for God to bless us. And thank God that Jesus is the rock of our salvation. And we are founded upon the Word of God. This country was founded upon a King James Bible right here. Neighbor! And oh, listen, they're trying to destroy it. They're trying to diminish it any way that they possibly can. Even if they don't, they can't destroy the Word of God. They're going to try to diminish those things. And oh, listen, we're letting them do it. We've got to repair that despair and recognize the importance of that altar and ask God to give us a strong foundation in our Christianity. Too many Christians, a weak foundation. And then he said here, he built it up with the stones. He built an altar and then put the wood in order. And so he built up a structure. And that's the solid structure that is founded upon that strong foundation. Who with me? Say amen. Amen. The wood represents structure. And oh, listen, how we need to have some structure in our homes, in our lives, in our businesses, in our church services. Where's that structure? Amen. You get some structure, it'll repair the despair. You get some diligence and some discipline in your life. Have some structure. Amen. And it built that up. He took the wood and he started to build that altar, repaired it to repair the despair, to see the fire of God fall. And oh, how we need to see God. And we lack those things today. We lack order. Things today are backwards. And boys want to be girls. Girls want to be boys. And all sorts of things that are happening today. Twisted and perverted. Who's with me? No structure. No structure. No structure in our home. Dad is not being a spiritual leader he ought to be. That's what God designed it. Amen. Dad to be the spiritual leader. And mom right there. I mean with them. Side by side. Raising up young people. That have a heart for God. That want to honor God. Live for God. Trust God. Follow in the footsteps of mom and dad. Just like I'm doing tonight. Even though they went up into glory, I'm still following in their footsteps. And just because they're dead and gone doesn't mean that I'm still not supposed to honor my father and my mother. You honor your father and mother till there's no breath left in your body. Amen. And that's the structure. That's the discipline that God wants us to have. The Bible says in Matthew, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And with the rain, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not. Oh, listen, America fallen, neighbor. We don't have revival. America's gone. It's gone. The next generation. What's happening today? Oh, we need to repair that despair. People are just too discouraged. Too despondent. Too in great distress. And the winds have beat upon that house that has a sound, sturdy structure. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, like unto a foolish man, built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Where's that structure? Amen. Where's that leadership? The leadership that God wants us to have in the home. That's what happened in Numbers 32. Moses went up to get the commandments. And Aaron, he just gave in to the crowd. Compromising preacher. Give in. Erected an idol. And they rose up to play. Oh, that means that they were, that place was filled with nothing but lies, spies, and naked thighs. Who's with me? Wickedness. Wickedness. That's what happened in our churches today. A dad with some spiritual insight. A mother. A woman. Where the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And that virtuous means a woman of high moral character and standards. Where's that woman today? Amen. It's no wonder everybody just run around doing their own thing, going away just like they want to. There is no structure. And they built the structure. They had the altar to repair the despair. And a strong foundation. And then we need to have that sturdy type of a structure that when problems do come, you're able to stand up against it. Amen. And problems shouldn't blow Christian people away. We all go through them. Amen. We all go through problems, trials, temptations, things of that nature. And it's hard, but you can't let that rob you of your joy. You may not always like it, but the joy of the Lord is talking about don't lose confidence in God. He's got a plan and a reason. He just wants you to take care of that structure, that foundation. And what happened? He had the wood in order and the bullock. And he cut the bullock in pieces and laid them on the wood. And so now you've got the meat. And we need to have that strong type of foundation, that sturdy structure. Then we need to have some sensible nutrition. That's the meat. Amen. And you know, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That was his meat. Amen. And that's the type of nutrition we need to have in our life. And so that God can use it. And God will allow us to have once again that renewed presence and power. Recognizing God's plan. And our joy is restored. And we repair to despair. Why? We're feasting upon the right things. We're not feasting upon all those television shows that are out there today. And 900 different television shows. And I talk to people like I'm following this series. That series. And they're following that series. And I don't even know half the things that they're talking about. But they know more about those characters than they do the people in the Bible. Who's with me? You're eating the wrong food, neighbor. He had the bullock. And he put that sacrifice where it was supposed to go. And you remember when Paul was sailing and they hit that storm. And they were battling. And Paul said, listen, you need to eat some meat. You need some nutrition. You've been going 14 days without taking anything. It's no wonder you're ready to jump ship. You need to eat your meat. Amen. And I'm a carnivore. I like meat. And Brother Kurt took me out and we had barbecue. I like meat. Now, I'm not a big liver lover. I don't like liver. I just can't bring myself to eat in a filter. Who's with me? He said, take some meat. As Paul told those mariners out there trying to battle that storm. And it's no wonder we get discouraged and we get aggravated and down. We're not eating our meat. That's part of the altar that we need to have if we're to repair that despair. And then notice what happened. And so he took the stones and built an altar. Then he took the wood and they had the structure. He took the bullock and they had the right type of meat that God would be honored with. And now fill 4 barrels with water. Who's with me? Oh, listen, we need that water. Who's with me? Say amen. We need that suitable, sensible time of sustenance. If God is going to repair the despair, we need to have the right type of water that will sustain you and I spiritually. Now, you can live a long time without food. My body can probably eat itself in 2 years. I got so much food in my body. But you can't live very long without water. Amen. You can't live very long. You can live a long time without food. Amen. People eat. I mean, I've gotten so big I have to wear prescription pants. Amen. But anyways. But he said, fill it up. We need water. Pour it on. Pour it on the birds. Pour it on again. Pour it up. Fill it up. Oh, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Amen. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's to repair the despair. The fire of God will fall. When we drink the water of God's word, and that's where the tree. And we got to make sure we're in the right place. We're in the right place. The tree was next to the water. Amen. That's where we need to be, positionally, in the right place. And what happens? The product is the fruit that would begin to multiply. And the promise that God gives says, will not wither. Amen. Oh, listen. I've been going around preaching revival now to my 36th year out here on the road, preaching the gospel. I'm preaching so many. And there's a lot of churches that have withered away. Withered. Preachers that have changed. They don't believe the kingdom. They used to believe the kingdom. I don't want to believe it. Now they won't take off their coats. They won't take off their ties. And they just want to have a casual type of Christianity. That's not going to repair the despair. When you give in to the crowd, give in to the lust of the flesh, we need to have that sustenance. We need to have that right type of foundation. We need to have the structure that when the problems come, it'll stand firm. We need to have the meat, the right type of food spiritually in our life. Jesus said, I've glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. Amen. Repair the despair. What kind of water are you drinking tonight? What kind of water? In polluted, tainted, corrupt. Oh, let's trust God and let's recognize how important that is to have an altar that will repair the despair. Then the fire of the Lord fell in verse number 38. And it consumed it all up. The wood, the stones, the dust, licked up water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face. And it was a recognition of God's power. There was a reverence in their life. And it was a spirit of repentance. They fell on their face, prostrate before God in a state of humiliation and submission. That's what a fire will do. Oh, listen, neighbor. We need to repair the despair. Repair that despair in your life. Doubt causes it. Confusion causes it. Anxiety causes it. And listen, there ain't a pill on this earth that's going to repair that despair. It's getting that right type of altar with the type of foundation, structure, and nutrition, and sustenance that God wants us to have. Father, thank you for your love, your goodness. I pray you take the message. Help us to understand it, realize the importance of it. Help us, Lord, to be Christian people that are willing to repair that despair, to get that thing built back up in our life where we can experience the fire of God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You say, God spoke to my heart. Lift your hand up, big and high, all over the building. God spoke to my heart. And you may put your hand down. We get an altar call. Oh, listen, repair the despair. What did it start with? The altar. And come and say, God, help me to have that type of altar in my life that is strong with the foundation, is sturdy with the structure, and that I'm making sure that I've got the right type of nutrition in my life spiritually, and water that I'm drinking from the well of spring waters in my place, seeing my fruit multiply in my leaf, not withering. Lord, bless those that need to be saved and get saved. And those that need to come, help them, Lord, not to resist, not to reject, not to rebel. Father, Lord, we see the state that our country's in, and we know the burden of responsibility falls upon us. Help us, Lord, to see it. Get this stuff fixed up in our life, so they can have the fire fall once again. In your name we pray.